Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not Brandy, I'm Stephanie, and this is actually a joint presentation, although Brandy is going to be shouldering the laboring oar for this. Mostly, I'm just here to kind of give you some context as to why we're here in front of you today, and then what, if anything, needs to be done in the future. So, first slide. So, we're here today to give you a synopsis of what's called the Impact Community Study. And this study was something that we were required to do as a result of the Voluntary Compliance Agreement. And as you recall, the Voluntary Compliance Agreement was put in place as a result of the New Horizons, settlement of the New Horizons lawsuit. So a portion of the Voluntary Compliance Agreement, Section 3.7c, specifically required us to do an internal evaluation of the impacted communities that were listed in the Voluntary Compliance Agreement. And we were to do that to determine investment strategies and priority designation of infrastructure over which the county has primary governing authority, and to do an evaluation of the county's past participation in providing secondary elements of infrastructure with the goal of prioritizing the funding and formalizing an approval process for the continued county participation. That's strictly language that's from the VCA that says we need to do an internal study of these particular communities that are listed in the Voluntary Compliance Agreement. There were 10 of them that were listed in the Voluntary Compliance Agreement, and the county voluntarily added an additional 4 because it was felt that there were 4 additional communities in the county that really fit the parameters of what we thought the 10 earlier ones did as well. We wanted to make sure that we're inclusive with that. And those communities are as follows: Lucas Development, Pinetown, New Hope, including the Old State Road, South Old State Road, West Rehoboth, Polly Branch, Dog Patch, Mount Joy, Concord, Possum Point, and Riverview, and Coverdale Crossroads. The county added Cedar Creek, Cool Spring, Diamond Acres, and Greentop. So this was really the culmination of a few years of effort on behalf of the county, and really our Community Development and Housing Department really deserves a lot of credit. They did a lot of legwork. They knocked on a lot of doors. You'll hear they knocked on 916 doors specifically to give them copies of this survey that we needed them to fill out so that we could learn more about their communities. And as a result of that that huge effort on their part and the community meetings that they held on their part with the communities that were there, we put together now, with the help of a consultant, GCR Incorporated, this study that you have in front of you, which then takes all of that data that had taken the past couple, 2+ years to put together, put it together in this report in an understandable manner. So with that point, I will turn it over to Brandy, and she can go over the overview of the report.
Okay, so just a brief outline of sort of what's this study is composed of, and it's an analysis of the residents of these 14 communities' responses to questions about the prioritization of their individual and community needs, and you'll see later sort of what we ask them to prioritize. It's a geographic assessment of each of these impacted communities. We needed to really define the boundaries of where these communities are, and the household demographics, including income, race, ethnicity, low and moderate income determinations. This is for HUD. And then an evaluation of the county's participation of providing funding for all these various things: rehabilitation, trash disposal, roadway crusher run, well and septic help, public water and sewer system hookups, after school and community programs, street lighting, and accessibility. So just to go over the timeline, as Stephanie mentioned, I've come here several times to talk about this study, so it's been quite an effort since about late 2014 is when we started our public meetings, and then the surveys started shortly after. We contracted with GCR in June 2015, and that was actually the second round of RFPs that we did. The first one came back with over $300,000 from various organizations. So we actually decided to do all of the data collection in-house. So all of our staff completed the door-to-door surveys and the public meetings. But GCR was to sort of analyze the data and provide the report. We finished the surveys in April of this year, and then we actually submitted the final report to HUD on Friday, the 23rd of September. And then we also submitted shortly after our prioritization policy, which was the next step. So as you can see, these are the 14 communities that Stephanie mentioned. They're scattered across the county pretty well. And again, we added South Old State Road to the New Hope community, and we added Riverview to Possum Point, and then Cedar Creek, Cool Spring, Diamond Acres, and Green Top are some of the other communities that we've always worked in. Okay, so I did want to recognize my staff, or our staff, which is here from Community Development and Housing, Mike Jones, Guillermo Montalvo, Nicole Riddick, and Dale McDowell, and notably absent is obviously Brad Whaley, our director. He was unable to be here today, but I want to give them a huge round of applause and credit for all of their help with this. They trudged through all kinds of weather and encountering various animals along the way and helping us host these meetings, so thank you to them. So we knocked on 916 doors out of the 14 communities. We made contact with 679, and 578 of them completed the survey. So that's about a 63% response rate across the communities, and that's a low of 39 in Concord to a high of 90% in Pinetown. So we also hosted public meetings in each community, which we did in advance of the surveys to let folks know that we would be coming, and that we worked with First State Community Action to help us with some of the communities that they are directly involved in, as well as sending direct mailings to the residents. And we held those meetings either in the community centers within these communities or at very close community centers. And then GCR utilized the Department of Housing and Urban Development's survey methodology to determine these low to moderate income areas. And so we took a look at some of how the county has invested and assisted these communities in the past. And these are the six programs, I guess you would say, that we have used in the past, which is our CDBG and home programs, which is primarily used for owner-occupied housing rehab. That's through our office, as well as the Housing Preservation Grant. And then the County Council Emergency Repair Program, which is funded by County Council every year to our office to help with emergency repairs. The Rodent Control Program, which is through the Constable's Office, which has been primarily used for helping with neighborhood cleanups and pest control services. And then the Human Service Grant and the Nonprofit Grant Program, which comes from the Council to help fund some of these neighborhood and nonprofit organizations. And so this is kind of just a map of the investments from our office specifically, and you can see that this is just a scattered plotting map of the investments that we've had over the last, I believe, 7 or 8 years. So you can see that it's pretty well scattered across the county, and then you have pointed out for you the 14 communities. So the county has worked in these 14 communities for a long time. And this is a listing, and I'm not going to go into all of this in great detail, but this is all those programs that I mentioned and all the various ways that we've assisted within the boundaries of those 14 communities. So through home repair, new wells, accessibility, demolition, trash collection, disposal, and then through human service grants and nonprofit grants with the after-school programs and community programs and street lighting and that sort of thing. So basically, we have, we got 578 surveys completed, and so of those, 47% of the properties were deemed to be inhabited structures, 33% were vacant lots and that's not the 578, and 10% of the properties were vacant structures, an additional 2% of those properties were noted to be seasonally vacant, and that was primarily in Possum Point outside of Millsboro. And 3% of the properties we encountered were abandoned. 73% of the households that responded to the survey were owner occupants, and 23% were renter occupants. The majority of the households were one-story stick-built homes, a few two-story stick-built homes, and then a significant amount of double-wide and single-wides. The home condition was an evaluation from the members of our staff, which are trained in housing rehabilitation and inspection. So we did a windshield survey to determine the condition of the home, whether it was good condition, needing minor repairs, major repairs, or if it was uninhabitable. And 31% of the structures were in good condition, 32% in need of minor repairs, and 37% were in need of major repairs. So kind of a spread across the board there. And land ownership, a significant amount of the responding households owned their home and land, but 21% rented their home and the land, and then 4% own their home and rent the land. And here's the various, we had three sections that we asked the households to prioritize for us. The resident need section was asked them to prioritize home repair, water quality testing, well septic installation or repair, home accessibility, or trash collection and disposal. And it was overwhelmingly established that home repair is the top priority across the 14 communities. This is something we already knew, but HUD definitely needed us to document that and sort of justify the way we've been spending our HUD dollars for years. And then community service needs were after-school programs, animal control services, financial literacy, and light code enforcement. And after-school programs, again, were overwhelmingly the top priority. And then community infrastructure was various things, streetlights, road improvements, sidewalks, public water and sewer, demolition, drainage, public transportation, community center repairs, and community center accessibility. And obviously these are not all, in all three of these charts, there are things that the county does not do, but we wanted to just get a sense of the community needs regardless of the county's involvement, and then we would be able to either through education or outreach or contacting other federal or state agencies to kind of help them address some of these needs. So streetlights were the top priority, so our next step is to, through education and outreach, make these communities aware of our existing streetlight program here at the county. And Pinetown, for example, just went through that process, and they got, I believe, 8 new streetlights just in the last couple of months. So this was a determination of the low to moderate income status of these communities. We already knew that all of these communities were low to moderate income, but again, HUD wanted us to document that. So you'll see that across the responding households, and many of these communities, even the ones that responded to the survey, did not all answer the income question. So based on the information that we received, all of these communities are 74% or higher low to moderate income. So that's just a documentation of that. And the average household size was 2.96. 481 of the individuals we surveyed were under the age of 18. 239 of them were self-reported living with a disability. 65% identified as Black or African American. 23% were white, and 5% identified as multiracial or another race. And 9% of individuals identified as Hispanic. So I'll let Stephanie close out.
So where we are at this point is the data and information from the impacted community study is going to continue to be used by the county, particularly as we go forward with our comprehensive plan process. We've already started those public meetings, and the information that we now have documented within the study will be helpful with regard to our planning activities and going forward. We've also incorporated information from the study in what's called our county's prioritization policy, which is another step that was included in that section 37C, that long legalese that I read in the beginning that's part of the voluntary compliance agreement. And now the study has also, as required by the voluntary compliance agreement, has now been posted on the county's website under the county's Affordable and Fair Housing Resource Center. So at this point in time, we don't have anything that we need for you to do today. We're not coming forward with any kind of a request or a need for you to vote on anything today. This was just a presentation of the information within the study.
Does anybody have any questions?
First, for you and your staff, thank you all very, very much. I know it was a heavy lift. You haven't got a big staff. Like you said, through all kinds of weather, everything else, but it's a great job, and we're very blessed to have you all work for us.
Thank you.
We thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you.
Sincerely. Anything else from council?
Same expression.
Ditto, Mr. President. I have one thing, many things came out, I think, which were very interesting. And could you go back maybe one slide, maybe
sure,
two slides?
Sure, switch.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
That one there, of all the things, it's so very important, and I appreciate, again, as Mr. President had stated, all the work that you guys have done. I find that one there very intriguing. 481 of the individuals that were surveyed were under 18, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, kind of a pretty good number. Is that because parents were not home, or is it
we were seeking their input as children, so to speak? So it's portrayed probably badly, but the way it worked is the head of the household that we spoke with, we asked them to provide the information about all the members of the household. So we asked that, you know, if there were four individuals in the household, how many of them were under the age of 18? So that's the way that so we never actually necessarily took surveys from someone that was 16, for example. We
gotcha.
Just asked the, so it's just an evaluation of the age ranges of everyone across the board.
Okay.
Sorry.
No worries. I saw that. I was like, well, that was intriguing, the way that was written there. So thank you for the clarification.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Medlars, where are you? Here he comes.